Goes to John chapter 11. I am going to tell you about a sign, but I did want it to be on the recording.
I told you about your sign last week.
Well, I got that one in here later, but this is the one from today. That church on the other side of the Big Dip there,
yeah.
Before Shady. What will it take for God to get your attention? That's a good question. I like that question. I've got an answer for that question. See, you don't have to put that sign out in front of this church, because every Sunday for the last 30 years or whatever that I know of, 20-some years for sure, and I believe Earl did before that, just on a hint, it takes an act of God to get your attention. It takes life from God to get your attention. And they don't preach that. They're trying to get it from the pulpit. More power to you. It ain't going to happen. Yeah. That's why we have basketball teams and softball teams and gymnasiums and plays and cantatas and all that stuff, because you're trying to get people's attention. Okay, but what it'll take for God to get your attention is the breath of life. And he'll get your attention if he wants it. Ask Pharaoh. It didn't do him any good. Matter of fact, I think it eventually killed him. But God got his attention. Anyhow, John chapter 11, and I just want to read verses 25 and 26 again, and I might get to it today. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And what I've been trying to speak on, door, is believers are believers first. First and foremost, overall, everything else comes second to the true believer in Jesus Christ, because God has breathed in them the breath of life. God has given them faith. The Holy Spirit does indwell them. Even when I'm not paying attention, I'm a believer first. I do believe this wholeheartedly. I don't always do it, but I believe it. Or at least I certainly don't feel as if I'm always a believer, because I am a creature of flesh, and I get distracted. That same attention span they can't get at the other church is the same attention span I have, personally, fleshly, within me. Now, luckily, it's not as bad as some people. But my attention span is short. It takes a good bit to get my attention sometimes. If I'm concentrating on work, or if I'm concentrating doing something, you could ask my wife. She will talk to me and I won't answer. And the only reason I'm not trying to be rude, the only reason I'm not answering is because I didn't hear her, because I was doing something.
That's a good excuse.
And it's on record right now. I actually have mastered the thing sometimes of saying, and I'm not paying attention, but she knows, because sometimes it's just her venting and she's just got to get it out. It's not actually required that I have to pay attention, but sometimes it is. Boy, this hole just keeps getting deeper and deeper. And Samson, yes, okay. Thank God I have the car keys, right? I am not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But Jesus Christ in me is perfect. The Holy Spirit dwells in every believer, every regenerated child of God before conversion. Okay? That's one of them things. You don't have to lay your hands on somebody's head to give them the Holy Spirit. Thank goodness. Because I think I wouldn't be very good at that either. You don't have to be baptized in water to get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes where He wants. And you can't tell where He came from or where He's going next. That's Scripture. That's the words of Christ. Anybody else's words don't matter. His are the only words that matter. Life is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. It is the faith of God. Faith is perfect. My believing is not. The life that the Holy Spirit gives is perfect and everlasting. But unless Christ comes first, I'm going to die. This body is going to die, put it that way. The body's going to die. I hope I didn't hit the microphone. And as I said, it was a couple of weeks ago, the battle that I have, the flesh with the Spirit, is an evidence to me, not to God, not to you. It's an evidence to me that I know Christ. And if you have that battle in you, and you can read Romans 7, Mason, and understand that Paul was talking about himself as he was right at that moment, you know a little bit about God. See, there are people who will take Romans 7 and want to relegate it to the past. I used to be bothered by the flesh. Where did it go? Yeah. It's still right here. Yeah. I'm sorry, did the rapture happen and somebody get changed and I didn't know it? I haven't sinned for 17 years. You're a liar. If you think you can say, I haven't sinned in 5 minutes, you're a liar. The one that I have the biggest problem with is the one that Paul had the biggest problem with. Until I understood, thou shalt not covet. That's in here. That's in the brain. That's my thoughts. And if you think my tongue's an unruly member, you don't know nothing about my thoughts. And I'm not going to tell you. Because I don't want to. But in those thoughts, even in the back of those thoughts, even when I am distracted, even when I am sidetracked, I still know that Jesus Christ is God. He is my Lord. He is God, whether He's my Lord or not. That's the other part when you get into. In Him there is life and light and love and perfection. I believe Him. But I have, and I probably will again, doubt. I guarantee it, pretty much. I've known Christ, 27 years or something like that. And I go from one doubt to another and then I go back to the same one. I have doubts about me. I have doubts about my position. I have doubts about my place. I have doubts about my salvation. But as I look back, not at the present time when it's going on, but as I look back at all those times, I realize now, well, I realized a few years ago, but I never had any doubts about Him. I had doubts about my place in him. If I was in him, my position in him, what am I supposed to do? Because I was created unto good works. I'm supposed to do some stuff. And Barry, what am I not supposed to do? But I never, and I can say this with all honesty, to the best of my memory, I never doubted him. I might not have been in him. That was the part I was worried about. But he was where I wanted to be. He is whom I wanted. And that is a blessing from God. That's not of me. That's of the Spirit. And that's another evidence to me that I know God. He doesn't change. Even in my mind, he doesn't change. I may understand him a little more fully. I may know some more things about him. But he was God when he saved me, and he's still God now. I didn't know anything about the word regeneration. Mason never heard it. Until a year or two after, well, I met Earl Cochran. This is where I first heard the word regeneration. Life from God. What I told Walter and what I told other people was that all I knew is that God had to do something for you before you could come to him. And if God did something for you, you would come to him. And that's regeneration. It's life from God when you're dead. And that's being found of them, those found him that weren't looking for him. I know what that means because I was one of them. And so are you if you know Christ. You weren't looking for God because you didn't know who he was. They weren't looking for Christ, but he came anyway. They were looking for a Messiah who was going to raise Israel up to the kingdom and kick out the Romans and take over the world. That's not exactly what they got. They got the Christ of God. And he was found of those that sought him not. And that's exactly what happens today. He is found of those that sought him not. What does God have to do to get your attention? My goodness. I think he got Noah's attention. And after he put Noah in the ark and he shut the door, he got the world's attention. But my doubts and my fears and my problems are mine. That's from me. It's not from him. But he is still Lord in the middle of my doubts and in the worst of my fears and, as they say, in the deepest valley. He's the same God when you're on top of the mountain. When you're happy in him. December is as pleasant as May. That's a good song. I like it. But he is still Lord when I'm not happy in him. He is still Lord when I'm grieving. Walter, he's still Lord when I'm chastised. Chastisement implies and means correction. That means something has to get fixed, which means something is broken, which is me. But he is still God. The Father will chastise a son because he wants him to learn something. What was it, Tim James said, I don't want patience because you got to get tribulation to get to patience. It's true. It's true. I know more now about all things working together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, than I knew 25 years ago. Because I've seen it. And I've had it beaten into me under certain and various circumstances. And all apologies to normal man that he deserves, it's not all good things. It's all things. Now, technically, if you want to go into it, if God's putting you through it, it's pretty good because it is for your good. And it's for his glory. But I sure didn't think it was good at the time. And some of the things are bad. But it's still all of them working together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Jesus Christ is God whether I believe him or not. And see, you don't hear that in other places. You don't hear a man, because they're so busy trying to get their attention. See, Jesus Christ is love. He's meek and he's mild. And that thing about him driving the money changers out of the temple, Walter, that was just, you know, he was having a bad day. Walter and I were talking about that on the phone. He only did it once. He made his point. And then he went on about his father's business. He was God driving the money changers out of the temple. He was God when he spoke to the children and said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." He was God while he hung on the cross. He's God while he sits at the right hand of the Father. He's God right now, whether anybody believes him or not. But he has promised that his people will believe him. And that's why we believe him. Because he has given it to us to believe. He has given us life. He has given us faith. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. So that we might know him. And his spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things are so. That it takes an act of God to get your attention. That it takes an act of God to give life to those who are dead and not looking for him. I don't doubt him. I may doubt me. I usually don't doubt you guys. Because you guys, as far as I know, are pretty good. But I don't know you the way I know me. I don't worry about you sometimes the way I worry about me. I may worry about you in a different way, but that's something else. It's not what we're talking about. But I worry and I fret. Now, I'm not talking about other kinds of worries, but as far as salvation goes, my doubts and my fears are about me. I can't know about you. I can't. I have a good hope in Christ that he has done something for you because you keep coming here. And you keep hearing Walter and me say stuff like this. And you keep, for years we came and heard Earl. To hear the truth of God proclaimed in Jesus Christ, who is God. But I can remember sometimes in the past listening to Earl, and I hate to sound all self-centered, but I am, worrying about me while Earl's preaching, because he's expounding something in the scripture that I have run into. And I'm not going to go into specifics or anything of the kind, but even sitting there, or driving home in my car, or at work, because I've said something stupid at work, which happens from time to time. I still believe Jesus Christ is the God, very God, the creator of heaven and earth. And by him all things still consist. And that from the beginning he declared the end. And that end is coming just the way he declared it. And the middle is working out just exactly the way it's supposed to get to that end. My doubts are on me, about me, in me. My belief is in him. Even when I'm doubting. And I hate to say it, but that's a weird kind of comfort to me. That even when I'm doubting, I believe him. I don't doubt Christ. I doubt myself. I got to thinking about this account in the Bible. It's in Mark. There was a man who had a son, and what they said was, what the fella told Christ was he was afflicted with a dumb spirit. That's the way it's written in there. And he would foam and he would gnash his teeth, he'd fall on the ground, he'd fell in the fire, and he might get burned and all this stuff happened. Christ said, bring him to me. Well, they brought the kid to Christ. I don't know how old he was. It was the man's son. And all of a sudden, right then, he started wallowing on the ground and foaming. And Christ said unto him, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, first of all, because I thought of this scripture, but first of all, Christ said things, all things are possible to him that believes. He didn't say all things are possible because of him who believes. I've heard that preached a lot. You know, if you're not healthy, and if you're not wealthy, and if you're not prosperous, and if you're not successful, it's your own fault. Because you don't have enough faith. Christ said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that belief is in him. And this man answered straightway. Now, whether this man saved, lost, I don't know, Mason. I have my thoughts. But when he looked at Christ and he said, Lord. That's who you got to talk to. That's the only man that can help. That's the only one who can do anything. He said, Lord, I believe. But then right after that, he says, help mine unbelief. I know that feeling. I know that feeling. I believe, but I don't believe. I believe, but I don't believe. At the same time. Jesus is Lord. And whether this man knew it or not, or whether he's just being polite, he called him Lord. And he said, I believe. And he realized he had unbelief. And he said, you help my unbelief. He's the only one who can. Amen. But this guy, this man with this son, was talking to the right man. And Christ healed him. And the spirit went out of him. But that still sticks with me. I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus Christ is Lord, and only the Lord can help. That leper that came, Walter, he came, but he worshiped. One of them says he kneeled down before him. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. It's not a question of whether Jesus Christ can do anything. It's a question of whether Jesus Christ will do anything. All things are possible to him that believes. If the Lord is willing. I don't have enough faith. I don't. Not in me. But I've got the faith of God, which is perfect, which has been given me. I have the Holy Spirit that lives within me, but it's in my flesh. Still dwells no good thing. Help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can help my unbelief. See, people have this, and I got this written down, and I've read it because I've had this written up for 3 or 4 weeks. At least this part of it. I have written down, believing is important. Life is essential. Faith is essential. I don't put believing is essential because it comes from life and faith. It doesn't cause life or faith. It comes from life and faith. It is important. And it is a wonderful blessing to be able to believe God and to actually do it. It's great. But even when I doubt myself, even when I don't know if I'm one of his, if I've got the life and the faith that God gave me, I'm still okay. That's the essential part, is the life from God. My believing is never going to be perfect until I awake in his likeness. When this mortal puts on immortality and this flesh goes the way, and I no longer have that battle between spirit and flesh, that's the only time my believing's going to catch up with my faith. And that's his gift. All of it. Help thou mine unbelief. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time and this place. But most of all, we are thankful for your Son, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God whether we know him or not, who will be God whether we ever know him or not. But who we thank for revealing himself to his people and the knowledge of him, the blessing of knowing God. Thank you. In his name we ask. Amen.